This episode is brought to you by SendPro Online from Pitney Bowes. SendPro Online software makes it easy to save time and money no matter what you ship or mail. Print shipping labels and stamps right from your desk and access discounted rates. Try it for free for 30 days and get a free 10-pound scale when you visit pb.com/TMS. That's pb.com/TMS. This episode is also brought to you by Casper. Get $50 off select mattresses by visiting casper.com/morningstream and use the promo code morningstream at checkout. Also, act fast to take advantage of Casper's President's Day offer between February 9th and 19th. Save 10% off any mattress purchase if you visit casper.com. Additional fees may apply for Hawaii and Alaska.
Whoa.
Coming up on TMS, robocalls run amok.
He doth inside trade too much.
Ass man update.
Do not kiss those deer.
Hello, fishy fish.
Therapy Thursday and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
I look like today, but it's okay, because I'ma go away.
You make me feel like a natural woman.
The Morning Stream. We wish you were here.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to TMS. It is the Morning Stream for Thursday, February 15th, 14th. It's the 14th. It's a happy Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no, you're just discovering this now?
No, I just forgot to say it on the show. There's been a lot going on. Right. I knew it was Valentine's Day.
Because you and Kim do the whole Valentine's Day thing, right? She does the whole, like, leaving you notes all week leading up to it.
Yeah, she does 14 days of Valentine's, and then, and I can't get her to not.
She is a Hallmark movie.
Yeah, she kind of is. And I tried to tell her not to do it, but she does it anyway. Yeah. I'm a kind of like, hey, I found a cool one thing for her deal, and that's in the mail, and we'll have it probably today kind of guy. And it works out fine. But yeah, no, I'm fully aware of it. Usually what she does is she'll make a big dinner deal, freak out about having all the kids around for Valentine's Day. Because in her mind, they're the result of our love. You know what I mean?
Believe me. I know what you mean. And I wish I didn't have it that, you know. Thrust in my face that blatantly.
You can feel what I'm laying down. What
yeah,
you're saying?
I can smell what the rock is cooking.
Great. Yeah. That's what I'm hoping for. So anyways, that's the deal there. And we're, you know, whatever. We're excited to celebrate it with them. And tonight we're going to go over there to Taylor's house and hang out with the little baby and do all that. Nice. So.
I'm letting Tina enjoy her binge watching of Grey's Anatomy and Bravo reality shows while I go play trivia with the boys.
That's fantastic. Oh wait, it's pints and pokers or whatever you call it. What do you call it?
So tonight is Geeks Who Drink. Tuesday night was Puzzled Pint.
Oh right, okay. Yeah, I guess
we did that. That's not trivia though. That's just puzzles.
That's
we
just
did
a lot
that,
of.
With the, Clark and Nikki Moore and did great. Had a great time doing that this last week.
Nothing wrong with a little bit of puzzle and pinting, I always say.
There is nothing wrong with that at all.
Well, we're glad to be here. We got Wendy coming later, although she's got like a hard out kind of thing going, so she'll come in here at the top of the hour and then bail like exactly 30 minutes later. Should be plenty of time to talk about whatever she's going to talk about, but she's got some charity thing with her son she has to go to, so there's that.
Cool.
Brian, does your phone ring often with like phony calls from like scams?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. My favorite one is the "Hello, this is Internal Revenue Service. Your audit is going. You know, send us $5,000 or you will be put into jail."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Always very That's legit. Always very real. Always very. Yeah. I mean, it's always some robot lady. Right.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I know that. I know the Internal Revenue Service employs robocalls to.
I mean, the worst it ever got was that time that Kim got called by. It was an IRS fake one, and it was an actual dude, and he was yelling at her, dude, and swearing at her, and saying, "We're coming to your. The FBI's on its way to your house right now. You need to tell me what's going on." And I'm like, "Oh my gosh!
Oh my God!
Hang up on that guy because it was all bullcrap."
Yeah.
But for a hot second there, she wasn't sure, you know.
Sure.
Well, anyway, I never get these. These calls don't come through to me. For whatever reason, I'm not on a list. So I don't get these calls. Kim will get like 15 a day. And she's like, oh, gosh, dang it. And she's starting to use, you know, apps that tell you that it's fake or the ones that'll block the call or whatever.
Yeah, that one that Hammond recommended to us last year at TMS Vegas, we both put on. We were waiting in the lobby to go see Infinity War.
Yeah.
And it was a new app that Hammond had us put on our phones because he's like, oh yeah, this works really good. Fake caller or something like that, or block spam or something like that. And it did really well for a while, and now it doesn't seem to work anymore.
Yeah, I think I'm used that one for a while, and now I'm on to something else, and whatever I'm using is fine. But but I don't get them, generally speaking, until yesterday. Suddenly, I'm on some list because I got a string, and I'm not kidding, of 8 of these calls in a row. 8 to 10 of these, just bling, 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 bling. And they say they're all from around the different parts of the country. This one came from Minnesota. This one came from Montana. This one came from all these places. And I just thought, well, all right, this is insane. I guess I should check one of the voicemails because I don't answer them. I'm not going to answer these, right? So I checked the voicemail, and I'd like to play for you what I received. Okay? Here's what I got yesterday. How am I at 99% CPU usage? How is that possible? All right, chat room, we're going to do a little something here.
Because you're broadcasting at 4K quality.
Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pause this, and we'll be right back to you. You're going to notice the stream go away, but I promise we're not leaving you forever, okay? All right, sorry. Back to the thing. This is an important story here. All right.
Yeah.
So I got these calls and I thought, okay, I checked the transcriptions and they're all jumbled up. You can't read them. Okay? They don't make any freaking sense.
Right. The text to voicemail to text.
Yeah,
yes.
Which sometimes is good, sometimes is bad. In this case, was kind of bad. I couldn't tell what was going on. So here, I recorded one of them. Would you like to hear it, Brian? Would you like to hear the sound?
I'd love to. The suspense of all this is killing me. I'd love to hear it.
All right. I just don't know how they put these out there and expect us to believe them. Like, somebody believed this.
Somebody thought that this would be like, oh, this will totally get them. I'll totally get them with this one.
Yeah, but some old lady bought it, is my point. Somebody somewhere believes this. I don't know who. Yeah, okay. It ain't me, but here it is.
This is Officer Gail Stone from Social Security Administration. The nature of this call is to inform you about some legal enforcement actions filed on your social security number. We have got an order to suspend your social at very right moment because we have found many suspicious activities on your social. Before we go ahead and suspend your number, kindly call us back on our number.
Okay.
Well, robots do not do punctuation.
No. Not only that, they don't do
grammar or
and there's part of that.
Suspicious activity on my social.
Yeah, and listen to this bit.
Legal enforcement actions filed on your social security number. We have got an order to suspend your social at very right moment.
At very right moment.
Very right moment.
What the crap? I mean,
and we have got at your social at very right moment suspicious legal enforcement matters. It's like a word cloud. Like the wrote is using a spam word cloud.
Yeah, it's just garbage. Utter tripe. And
yes, there are going to be people who totally, oh no, I got called by Officer Robot from Social Security.
Officer Robot. I mean, that sucks. It sucks for people who do buy it, but I think it must be aimed at really old people, and it must be mass. This must be just so many that it's just a percentage thing, right?
Right.
Like, exactly. Send it to a million people and you're bound to get, I don't know, 20,000 people react or something. I don't know what the ratio is, but man, they tried to take me for a dummy and I'm not having it. Damn it. And I went and listened to the rest of them. They all sound like that guy. They were all from these places. Let me tell you where this is from.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got one from, I got one today. Let's see what this is.
Oh, a brand new one?
Yeah, but it might be the same. I mean, who knows? Again, put on speaker.
From Social Security Administration.
Okay, same exact one. Okay, same call. What is that? What are you doing there?
That's Dust Destroyer. I'm showing, like, in the chat room, they're asking, how do I dust all the crap behind me? And I'm just going to show this to them while I'm sitting right here.
Oh, yeah, you guys aren't distracting at all. You guys are
not.
Guys
at all.
Are not...
I'm waiting to hear the second one.
No. I'm just any group that can get Brian to bring out a dust sprayer isn't a distracting group of people. They're just normal,
it's
average.
Right next to me. It's right next to me on the desk.
All right. This one is...
order to suspend your social.
Okay, same thing. I got two this morning. They're the same guy. So I'm clearly on somebody's very specific list. Let's go back a ways.
Yeah.
Okay, here's one. Let's see. I'm trying to find it. Okay, here, let's try this one. Wait a minute. What?
This is the Honda customer service team contacting you about a safety recall on your Honda vehicle. Honda has decided that a defect which relates to motor vehicle safety exists in your vehicle. Please do not delay in contacting
I don't think that's real.
No.
No, that's not real. So I think it'd be fun, Brian, since we're here and we're doing this. Why don't we call that one of these numbers just to see what freaking happens?
Oh, yeah, like do a callback?
Yeah.
I'll bet you it goes to nothing. I'll bet you it's like a dead incoming number that they just use as a
well, let's find
outgoing
out.
Number.
Let's see what happens.
Let me give it a try. Excuse me.
Here we go. Come on, ring. Ring, you bastard. Why aren't you ringing? Hold on, it's on speaker.
You want me to do Officer Robot if they answer?
Yeah. Oh, they won't hear you though, I guess. It'll only be they can only hear me. I don't have that routed. I mean, I'm literally holding my phone up on my mic. Alright. Nothing's happening. It's just sitting there saying calling. I'll bet that's user busy. What kind of message is that? That's important.
User busy.
Okay, I'm gonna try one of the alternates and then we're giving up on this.
Hello. This is Officer Robot.
There's something wrong with your social. All right, let's see. Here's one. Let's see if this rings. I'm guessing it's the same problem. It's going to just be a... Oh, we got a ring.
Oh.
Okay, let's see what happens. Ringing.
Social Security Administration, how may I help you?
Yes, I was calling... somebody says that my social is all jacked up and said to call this number.
Sure, sir. May I have your first and the last name?
Jerry Attrick.
Jerry and the last name?
Attrick. A-T-T-R-I-C-K.
Attrick. Okay. Now, thank you so much, Mr. Attrick. You are speaking with the officer, Daniel Martin, here. With batch ID 766402, I'm calling you from Social Security Administration, and the reason we are trying to get in touch with you regarding some legal enforcement action filed on your Social Security number. We have got an order to suspend your social at very right moment because...
All right, blah, 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 freaking blah. You're freaking whatever. He's going on too long. I can't get a word in edgewise. He's got this big script to read. But anyway, yeah, these guys
going
always...
To suspend your social. Oh, no.
Well, geriatric ain't getting fooled today. I'll tell you what.
You know what? I was planning on getting a new social, so go ahead and suspend that one. You can suspend that social. I've got five socials all lined up.
The sucky part of that, as I just realized, is that now my number's probably on the permanent list. Right. So I'm going to get calls all the time. It's fine. I'll just block the bastards.
And poor Jerry Attrick out there is...
I mean, that was clearly a room full of other people scamming people. You can hear them.
Exactly. I would have said, "Oh, you're an officer? Officer of what? Like what?
What precinct?
What training or what? Yeah, yeah. What precinct? What?
Where are you? Are you in a building? Are you in the United States? Like I should have just immediately interrupted him.
What academy did you go to? Oh, you know what? I'm an officer too.
Yeah. If I get any more of those, yeah, that call was $499 a minute. Let's hope not. It was actually an 800 number, so it's probably some weird routed thing. Who knows? Anyway, that's dumb and lame, and they should stop doing that, and there should be a law, and there probably is, and I just don't know it. Okay. Yes. All right. Where are we? Oh, I know. I got to talk to you about our good friends over at Casper. Casper, still the bed I sleep on. It's a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. And there's some great benefits to Casper. I don't know if you know this. But Casper's mattresses are designed by humans for humans. The original Casper mattress combines multiple supportive memory foams and a quality sleep surface that's just the right sink, just the right bounce. And they're made right here in the USA. You guys will love them. When I got mine, I flopped it out. Got right there, by the way, showed up at the porch. Flopped it out, unwrapped it, boom, put it on the, what do you call it? What's the thing under there? what's the thing? The bed rack, whatever it is, whatever that's called. Easy peasy. Stuck it on there. Put the sheets on. Slept like a baby that night. It's great. It's a great mattress. And if I ever have a night where I'm not sleeping well, it's never the mattress's fault. It's usually because I'm grumpy or I read too much internet stuff. But Casper's always there for me. Here's what I want you to do, knowing that you spend one-third of your lives on a mattress. It is so very important to truly sleep on a mattress before committing. That's why Casper gives you 100 nights for free to try it out. So you just try it out for 100 nights. If you don't like it, take it back anywhere in the U.S. and Canada. And you can get $50 toward any select mattress by visiting casper.com/morningstream and use that code morningstream at checkout. Also, you need to act fast and take advantage of Casper's President's Day offer. Between February 9th and 19th, save 10% off any mattress purchase if you visit casper.com. Additional fees may apply for Hawaii and Alaska. Terms and conditions apply. That's $50 toward select mattresses by visiting casper.com/morningstream and use the promo code morningstream at checkout. And 10% off any mattress for the special Casper President's Day offer at casper.com. Again, that's between the 9th and the 19th, so check that out. Terms and conditions apply. Big thanks to Casper. Let's now do some news. You want to do some news, Brian?
Yes, I want to do some news.
Well, all right.
This is your radio newscaster.
Do that again.
This is your radio newscaster with another exclusive, sensational summary of world and local events.
It's the news brought to you by.
Hey, big shout out to everyone that came out last night to the Denver Game Lounge over there on Colfax by Colorado Boulevard. We had a big Heart Crate fundraiser out there, played a bunch of tabletop games. Tina and I played something called Number Nine, which was a bunch of cards shaped like numbers, but more like written on a grid,
okay.
Just weird shapes like Tetris kind of pieces. And you stack them in front of you, and the numbers you put on top can't or have to completely overlap the numbers you put beneath, and you kind of build this tower, and it's really, really cool. We played that. We played this other one. I wish I could remember what it was called. Debloccle. I think it was called Debloccle.
Debloccle.
Where you have cubes that you roll around on a grid,
yeah,
like a 6x6 or 8x8 grid, and whatever face lands face up on your cube when you roll it is what move you have to make with that cube after you roll it. So it's either slide all the way to one end or the other, or jump diagonally or something like that, and you're trying to get to one specific space where you can remove the cube. Really, really cool. Anyway, had a great time playing some tabletop games. Tristan played some Magic the Gathering with Daryl from Heart Crate for a while. It was a good time, and we raised a lot of money. The place was packed.
Wow.
So it was a really, really good time there at Denver Game Lounge.
Nice. Sounds like a good time. That was last night after Tina got home?
That was last night after Tina got home. Basically, Tina got home. We hung out for a couple hours. I recorded Coverville, and then we raced out to Denver Game Lounge to be there for this fundraiser.
Fun. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a fundraiser is what it was, Scott. Not a fundraiser, but a fundraiser.
That's great. You can buy all kinds of things with fun. all right. Well, let's get into it. We got some news today, and there's some funky business going down in the world. For example, a former Apple lawyer. Not a lawyer for the Apple industry, but for the company Apple.
Okay.
They make Apple phones and
the Macintosh company.
Yeah, computers.
They make the Macintoshes.
Yeah, all of that. His job.
I'd like a Macintosh Book Pro, please.
Exactly. A Book Pro. Can I get a Book Pro? His job was supposed to keep employees from insider trading, supposed to stop them from any kind of insider trading. This was his job. He is now being charged in the U.S. District Court of New Jersey with insider trading.
Wow.
Well done. He doth protest too much. He's one of those, man, when you're going out there and you got a job and then you're doing the thing you're not supposed to do. You know?
Yep. Yeah, well, you know what? I think his job just taught him the best way to do it. You know, that was more like, that was more on the job training than it was a doth protest too much. He's like, yeah, see, if I were going to do some insider trading, I'd know not to do this, 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 or this, because that's how I was best people.
Yeah, interesting. Well, he's in trouble. Here's how it went. Jeff Lavoff is his name. He was senior director of corporate law and corporate secretary until September. Quote, traded on material non-public information about Apple's earnings three times during 2015 and 2016, according to a lawsuit filed Wednesday. leave off. Or is it love off?
Leave off. Sales cartoon balloons in town.
Leave on. Also had a...
Leave off. Leave off likes his money.
He really does. And
he
other
steals
people's.
A lot, they say.
He likes right, other good. People's money. That's how that lyric goes now. He also, he had a previous history of insider trading, having traded on Apple's material non-public information at least three additional times in 2011 and 2012. For the trading of 2015 and 16, he profited and avoided losses of approximately $382,000.
Wow.
Ooh. His position at Apple granted him insider access to not yet public earnings results and briefings on iPhone sales. The complaint says more than one occasion. There you go. He disobeyed the company's blackout period for a stock transaction. I don't know how you women deal with your blackout periods.
Well, those are the really bad ones, the blackout periods.
We don't see you for like 3 days. Lock yourself in a room. It's rough.
Yeah, I mean, basically this, you know, this is in a position where he's trying to catch people doing this. He just has perfect access to be able to try and do this himself, and he would have gotten away with it too if it weren't for those those kids.
Well, part of his actual job in the team he was on was to protect
corporate law and
he was protecting against insider trading. So he was
doing that. Okay.
Yeah, he's like an anti-meth cop sitting around cooking meth in the basement when he goes home. It's right. Like, what are you doing, dude?
Well, an anti-meth cop gets access to some of the best meth.
I don't even know what an anti-meth cop is.
I am officer anti-meth cop of
I really don't like meth. But really I love meth, is what he'd say. Hey, a follow-up story. Look at this.
Yes, I loved seeing this on Twitter yesterday. This is great.
Yeah. Remember a Saskatchewan man, Ass Man, or Asman, or however you pronounce it, but it's spelled Ass Man?
It's definitely. Oh, yeah, that's right. It's Osman.
Right, yeah, that's what he says, but whatever.
Sure.
Dave Ass Man was trying to get a license plate. With
personalized license plate.
Yeah. What's it called? There's a word.
A vanity plate.
Vanity plate. There you go. And Saskatchewan
my favorite Prince protege was Vanity Plate. She was the best.
She was great. Whatever happened to her? She ran off with who was that guy that was like one of his backing dudes? Who's the other dude? Who's
The time you're talking about?
Yes, Morris Day.
Morris Day.
He was like ripoff Prince, is what he was.
Not Rome. Yeah, right. Exactly.
He was bad. So we'll
just ever tell you the. When I went and saw like the Purple Rain show at in Vegas, it's been bouncing around for a while. It was at the House of Blues in Mandalay Bay. That's where I saw it. The guy does, number one, an amazing impersonation of Prince. So we saw him way before Prince passed away. We saw him way back like in 2008 because I was still at Media Marketing at the time, or 2007.
Yeah.
God, maybe even earlier than that. Anyway, but he does an incredible Prince impersonation. And then about halfway through the show, the band does kind of a long extended instrumental break, and he goes backstage, he changes and comes out as Morris Day, and they start doing covers of the Time songs.
Really?
Like Jungle Love and Do the Bird or whatever it's called, and the dude does an incredible version of Morris Day as well, and then he disappears. It's like watching the movie Purple Rain.
That is really, very really good. Moment of time stuff he's got there, and that's great.
Oh, totally, yes. No pun intended, moment of time stuff.
Well done.
But it's a good show. If you haven't seen, you know, if you're a Prince fan, you haven't seen that. It is worth seeing. It's one of the best impersonation shows I've ever seen. And I've seen quite a few. I've seen fake Queen. I've seen fake Pink Floyd.
Yeah.
I want to see the fake Bee Gees sometime.
Oh, fake Bee Gees would be fun.
Fake Bee Gees. The Australian Bee Gees show or whatever it's called in, I want to say it's in Excalibur.
So are all of these are still in Vegas though? This Prince thing is still showing? And still
the Prince thing?
Thing
I think is still in Vegas, and it's Purple Rain with an R-E-I-G.
Rain, like rain, reigning king. Yeah.
Like king, yeah, exactly.
Or Prince, I guess. The Prince can reign, sure. Why not?
Well, sure. Yeah. Let's see. Yeah, it is currently showing. Where is it now? Jason Tenor is the dude. The dude, he's a star.
Is he a tenor?
Maybe he's a star. Boy, you look at his photo on the site. He does not look like he should be doing a Prince
have to put this in the chat room.
Does he sort of, does he somehow pull it off? He must pull it off.
He does when he's on stage. Yeah. But
let's take a look here.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, look at that.
He looks like Ben Stiller Zoolander, doesn't he? Yeah. Like
Purple Rain, the Prince tribute show. It's very Zoolander face.
And then about halfway down, you can see him doing the time, like he's doing Morris Day there. About halfway down.
Who are these ladies? Are they the ladies up on stage with him?
They are. They're the Vanity Six.
Oh, that's very Morris Day. Wow.
Yeah.
He's got a dead YouTube video link on here. It's not.
I know.
Video unavailable. Well, let's get on your website there, buddy. Go fix your business.
I still have no idea where this is playing. Like, even if you go all the way to buy tickets. Here we go. It's at the Tropicana now.
Oh.
There you go.
Okay. All right. Oh,
right
look at this.
Across the street from Luxor, where will we be having the Overpants tournament? Whoop, 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 whoop.
He was on Letterman one night as a doing the impersonation performing. That's crazy. All right. Well,
dude's amazing.
Learn something new every day.
Yep.
Purple Rain. Okay. Where was I? What was the deal? Oh, the Ass Man.
Osman.
Yeah,
yes.
Osman. Sorry. So the SGI there, the Saskatchewan Government Insurance, denied his latest request for an Ass Man vanity plate. So he decided to take matters into his own hands and put a giant decal on his Dodge Ram pickup that says Ass Man in giant capital letters.
It's great because it looks like a giant license plate. Like, it's made to look exactly like a license plate, so it's taking up the entirety of the back of his car.
Look at that monster. Look at that thing, dude.
I love it.
It says, let's see, where is it? Okay. He also put Land of the Living Skies below it.
Yes. Oh, that's what the license plate, the Saskatchewan license plate looks like.
Yeah, so like you said, it's just like a big plate on the rear there. I mean, that's fine. I think maybe he's enjoying this limelight a little much, or, you know, whatever. Maybe he's just basking in his little social media hit, and he'll probably go away eventually because who kind of cares? But
yeah.
Oh, there's Dick Ass Man.
Right, he's a Regina gas station attendant,
and his name is Ass Man also.
His name is Dick Ass Man, who lives in Regina.
That's awful. Dick Ashman of Regina? That's terrible. And he's got gas. See?
And he's got right, he's a gas pumper.
Regina's own Dick Ashman has gas. That's fantastic. I didn't expect that little treat. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's like a little bonus. That's
wow.
Icing on the cake.
Something on the cake.
The Ashman cake.
We do live in a simulation, third illusion. I'm starting to think, who is it that said we live in one and we just don't know it?
Morpheus?
No, new guy. Real guy, person, real person.
Morpheus isn't real?
I can't think of his name. Elon Musk.
Oh, well.
Elon Musk believes we live in a computer in simulation right now.
Real guy, Elon Musk.
Real weird guy.
Yeah.
Smart guy, but a little weird.
Little weird.
Yeah. All right. Here's the big scare of the week. This is great. This is now happening in 24 states in these American states united. Okay. Zombie deer.
Okay.
Are roaming the countryside.
The walking deer.
The walking deer are everywhere. And they say that they've got a zombie disease. They call them zombie deer. And they say that this could spread to humans and quickly. The infectious disease expert has warned that chronic wasting disease, which is a killing deer in the upper Midwest, has been reported at least 24 states, could infect humans in the near future. Michael Osterholm, director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota, don't you know?
Oh, no.
Yeah, and a zombie deer, you got to watch out for those.
Oh. Wow, so, holy cow, look, boy, this map showing where the zombie deer are.
Yeah.
Wyoming is nearly completely covered, and they're starting to reach into Nebraska, Kansas, Colorado, and Utah.
Uh-oh. What are you going to do? Whoops. Turn off your ad blocker.
Oh, no.
I'm looking at the...
So, they're not dead and coming back to life. The use of zombie in this
No, it's more like a...
They're just decaying, like decaying as they walk, basically.
Yeah, they're dying. They're dying from like a... It's like having leprosy or something. They have a infectious disease that is destroying their flesh, like you would get from... There's all kinds of flesh eating things you can get.
Right, flesh eating bacteria and stuff like that. Yeah. Necrosis.
So stay away from the deer is all we're saying. Don't touch them.
Do not touch the deer.
You're not going to be a zombie. You're just going to turn into a... You might get their little skin disease, and you don't want that.
Well, I'm so not going to any restaurants that serve like venison or...
Yeah. Not into that?
Like that. Well, not during this.
I don't know, Brian. Sounds like a good time.
Do you have any of that new zombie flavor?
Gross. Anyway, so there's that. That's a thing going on. I wonder if anybody in the chat, we have a lot of Midwesterners in here. I wonder if they have heard of this and have been warned or something, like told not to do a thing. You think
Arby's? The fact that it's like all over, that map is showing it completely covering Wyoming is a little freaky, you know, because it is starting to come down into Colorado. It's in northern Colorado now, like Fort Collins and Loveland and that area. But
it has penetrated Utah as well.
It has.
Yeah. It looks like, you know, whenever there's a map and there's red stuff, it's always more scary than it is probably.
Right. Yeah. If they used like an Adobe Illustrator flower pattern.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Like if it was just a little less, you know, terrifying.
Well, and I'm also wondering like, all right, so it makes sense that, you know, you'd get in one area, like it's in South Dakota, it kind of branches into Wyoming and blah, blah, blah. But there's like one county in South Texas that is kind of hundreds and hundreds of miles from any other place that has it.
Yeah.
How did a zombie deer end up there? Like, did it hitchhike? Did it?
Might have traveled. I don't know what deer do. Do deer do that? Do they migrate or anything? Or I don't know.
Well, I imagine they migrate, but that's an awful long distance to migrate. All the way down through Oklahoma, through northern Texas let's see, what would that be? That's not quite far south enough to be Houston. Could be Dallas, Dallas area.
Maybe they're, they're Cowboys fans. They want to get down there.
BMI says roadkill. So some trucker is driving through Wyoming on his way down to Texas, hits a deer, a Zambie deer.
Takes the Zambie with him.
Takes the Zambie down, like in the grill.
Yeah.
In his radiator grill. And
yep, that sounds right. This is the beginning of the end, everybody. Watch out.
This is how it starts. This is that map.
Yep. This is where it all begins.
See at the beginning of Outbreak or Hot Zone or...
Never saw Outbreak.
Planet of the Apes.
How is Outbreak? Is Outbreak good? Never saw it.
You never saw Outbreak with Dustin Hoffman and...
Oh, no. I did see that one. What am I thinking of? Contagion is what I'm thinking of.
Oh, yeah. I didn't see Contagion.
And Contagion's the dude what did all your Ocean's movies.
Soderbergh.
Soderbergh, yeah. And I never... Soderbergh. Is it Soder? Soder? Whatever.
Soderbergh, sure.
Sure. Ass man, whatever, doesn't matter.
Ass man. Oh, I think I did see this.
I never saw it.
Yeah, who's in this? This is Matt Damon, Jude Law, Kate Winslet. Yes, I did see Contagion as well.
I like movies like that, but I never saw it for some reason. Is it good? Like, would you say?
It's good.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd say it's worth seeing. It was good enough that I confused it with Hot Zone and Outbreak.
Sure. They're all kind of the same. So
they kind of are. I wonder if that's streaming anywhere, Contagion.
And I've read the... what's it called? My brain's not working today. The Stand. I've read The Stand like 5 times.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That book's basically that. Yeah, I don't know
Contagion
what it is.
It's only streaming on Vudu with ads, so I would say wait for it to come to something else.
I should ask Kent or Wendy sometime why I love apocalyptic sort of devastation movies so much. Because I do. I love them. And not just the out of the whack ones like Mad Max. I mean, like, maybe when we were kids, we had that Day After. The Day After. Remember
the Day
that?
After. Yeah. Yeah. I remember not being able to watch that for whatever reason. My grandmother, I was staying at grandma's house when that thing was airing.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't let me watch it because of all the warnings. Don't let people watch it. Don't let your kids watch it.
Yeah. It was a huge
deal.
And
then I saw it a few years later. I was like, oh, well, this wasn't.
It's not that big a deal. Yeah.
It's shocking, but it, you know, for the time, it was shocking.
Sure. But now I just love them. I love, I don't know. I just like a good story about everything gone to crap and people having to figure it out. Like, there's something about that for me that I like. She says it's because I like train wrecks. I actually don't like train wrecks. Train wrecks are awful.
Train wreck movies, I think, or train wreck.
Oh, is that what she means?
I don't think she like. You know, she's assuming that. Oh, I hope that train crashes into a into a hospital, yeah. Derails and goes. Yeah.
Oh, you guys watch Jedi? Says they watched it in school. That's cool. The day after.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, I just always remember. What's his name? Not Ernest Borgnine. He was in. What's his name? Jason Robards.
Jason Robards. Sure.
I remember when Jason Robards, his car and his watch stopped working because the initial blast was like an
EMP device.
Yeah, EMP device, and everything shut down. I just remember thinking, oh, no way, that would be crazy. Think of all the stuff that would shut down. And that was like in 84 or whatever the hell it was. Imagine that today, like all the electronics that would just take a dump today.
Jeez, people would not be able to Insta their reaction to the to the attack, to the nuclear attack.
Exactly right.
Here's me standing in front. Hi,
it's your boy.
It's your boy. Like and subscribe.
I never saw A Boy and His Dog either, Captain Kipper. These are movies I.
Oh, learned. That was a really old one too.
Yeah, it's a list on my list of shame. Isn't that Don Johnson in it? It's my memory of
Like a super young Don Johnson. Yeah. Right. Yeah, maybe that's a film sack one, right?
I remember Steve Guttenberg hitchhiking when the missiles launched. He's not in The Day After, is he? Steve Guttenberg? Hold on. Now I'm irritated. Let's see. The Day After, IMDb. Is Steve Guttenberg in that?
If he is, I...
Jason Robards, Joe Beth Williams, Steve Guttenberg. Oh my gosh. He's totally in that.
Is he really?
Yeah. Yeah, he plays Stephen Klein.
Three bombs and a baby.
Yeah. John Lithgow was in it. Amy Madigan. Remember her? I kind of do.
Oh, I totally remember Amy Madigan. Yeah.
Jeff East. Don't know who that is. Yeah, that was a big deal at the time. And I just think maybe that put something in my head and I got hooked on that or something. I don't know.
Hmm. A Boy and His Dog is streaming on Amazon Prime. So that could be a potential film sack thing.
Oh, all right. I'd watch that. I'd watch The Day After for film sack.
Oh, I think we need to watch Silent Running. In a future Earth, barren of all flora and fauna, the planet's ecosystems exist only in large pods attached to spacecraft.
Wait,
when word comes in that the pods are to be jettisoned into space and destroyed so that spacecraft can be reused for commercial purposes, most of the crew of the Valley Forge rejoice at the prospect of going home. Not so for botanist Freeman Lowell, played by Bruce Dern, who loves the forest and its creatures.
That sounds like it sounds like Cool Runnings is what I was thinking of. You know,
yeah,
Jamaican bobsled team.
1972, Bruce Dern and good old Ron Rifkin.
Ron Rifkin. What's he doing now? Dead, probably.
No, I think Ron Rifkin's still alive.
Is he around? Okay.
Yeah.
I haven't heard the name Ron Rifkin in about. Oh, Ron Rifkin. Yeah, he's probably still here, right?
He's definitely still here. Yeah, he's 79. Whoa, he's 79 years old, Ron Rifkin.
Well, he looked that already.
Oh, he was just in A Star Is Born. That's right. Yes.
Ron Rifkin. He's an interesting looking dude.
He really is, yeah.
Yeah, I like him. All right, well, that's neither here nor there.
That was quite a rabbit hole for zombie deer.
Yeah, we've gone down one. How about this? Yes. Dude caught a giant goldfish. Maybe this is apocalyptic as well.
Okay.
Hunter Anderson works part-time at a bait and tackle shop. So he's had his fair share of fishing stories. He's also an avid fisherman himself, and even he admits this is pretty crazy. He says there's no faking this kind of fish. This is what he describes what he believes to be a 20-pound goldfish. Now, it could be a koi fish, but aren't goldfish just koi fishes? Just big, aren't they just small koi fish or something?
They're part of the, I mean, they're considered, they're called Japanese goldfish, right? Koi are, so.
I think so.
They're all part of the same family, I guess.
I'm a bad fisherman. I'm terrible
at these things. But 20 pounds.
Yeah, look at this monster fish, you guys. Putting this up on the chat here. On the screen. Look at that fish freaking
out. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it's like it's 20 pounds. Definitely a goldfish. Now, whether it's a goldfish, yes. Like I don't think some kid threw his goldfish in the pond and then it grew to be this because it mutated or something, but whatever the hell that thing is.
Don't let Pepperidge Farm get their hands on that one.
No. Oh my gosh, no. Would you eat that? Like, would you take that home and cook it, or would you be too weirded out by the fact that it looks like a big bowl fish? Like, what would you do?
Oh.
Would you eat it?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, I'd probably eat it. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, boy, I guess you don't know. It could be one of those things where the brightly colored animals in the wild have, poisonous. It's a way of warning predators that they're poisonous, or at least making predators think that they're poisonous.
Sometimes, yeah. To me, it looks like you cook that up, it would taste like electricity or something. It would be a really weird...
It would taste like burning and...
Yeah, it doesn't look like it would taste normal to me. I don't know what to expect from it, but it didn't say whether he ate it or not. So.
J.K. Grammer, whose name I'm going to pronounce correctly now, difference versus koi versus goldfish.
Oh, there is a difference between the two.
Coloring, physical features, different purposes. Koi and goldfish have different purposes.
Crossed purposes. Oh, yeah. So these are those. Yeah, my sister-in-law had a bunch of these in a pond they had once. All these kind of weird Japanese fish.
Yeah.
You can keep koi, but goldfish in ponds and tanks, goldfish in... Yeah, they're definitely different.
Yeah.
You don't get
koi by going to the carnival and throwing a ping pong ball into a little glass aquarium.
No, sir, you don't. I'll tell you what else you don't get. And this is, I don't have a good transition. We're gonna do a song. How about a song? We're gonna play a song. When we come back, Wendy will be here. We got a quickie with Wendy, and then we'll move on with the rest of our lives. So that's coming up soon. Stick around. Before that, though, song from Brian. Play it. What do you got?
Yes. So courtesy of appropriate to all of our topics today on TMS, Gold Robot Records. Not Officer Gold Robot Records, all but right. Gold Robot Records. Brand new album that's coming out tomorrow. It's called True Believers. The band is called Young Hunting. These guys, they're a Los Angeles quintet, and they're inspired by... folks like Nick Cave, Jason Molina, Can, but also the classic California pop of the 60s and 70s. So your Beach Boys, your Eagles, your Linda Ronstadt, Jackson Browne, all that stuff. And I can totally hear that influence in here, especially stuff like the Beach Boys, Jan and Dean, kind of modernized. This is great. The new album is called True Believers, comes out tomorrow. And here's the song, Two Worlds.
All right, we'll be right back. This show is brought to you by our friends at SendPro from Pitney Bowes. SendPro offers amazing software. It makes it easy for you to save time and money no matter what you ship or mail. Print shipping labels and stamps right from your desk and access discounted rates. Try it for free for 30 days and get a free 10-pound scale. That's a pretty good deal. It can be a complex situation using, doing all your own mailing. It sure can. Shipping can be very complex with the uncertainty over costs and deciding which carrier to use, plus tracking your packages. Things can get a little confusing. With SendPro Online, it's easy to save time and money no matter what you send, from letters and packages, overnights, flats, whatever it is. You can easily compare USPS, UPS, and FedEx all in one online tool. Print shipping labels and stamps from your own printer. Track all your own shipments and get notifications when they've arrived. Plus, when the USPS postal rates increased this year, that happened on January 27th, not to worry, you'll still be able to access savings up to 40% off of USPS priority mail shipping and 5 cents off every letter you send just by using SendPro Online. So don't let those price hikes scare you. SendPro's got you covered. SendPro Online is only $14.99 a month, and listeners can get a free 30-day trial when you visit pb.com/TMS. You also get that free 10-pound scale. You can weigh all your packages and accurately calculate those costs of shipping. Never going to overpay. That's pb.com/TMS. Experience the convenience of SendPro Online for yourself when you sign up for a free 30-day trial.
Have you ever had a dream that you
I'm gonna tear this guy a new hole.
You work at Attila de Mennonite? This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back, everybody. I love that kid.
That kid.
He's so good. He's great.
He's so good.
That's from years ago, but I decided to cap it because someone posted it.
It's like me explaining why I have a bunch of Spice Girls dolls up on my shelf. Would you get the thing?
There's a lot of the things in there.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. Wendy incoming. I hope. This might be a little early for her. I don't know.
We'll see. She does want out quick. Yeah. She wants out early, so if she wants out early, she's got to join us early. That's the way it goes.
Got to get your arse in here. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Fine. We're
good also.
What's this charity thing you're doing today? Because it sounds awesome. Something for the boy? What is it?
Yeah, it's so cool. So there's, they have some places out in Arizona, but I think it's from here originally. They have them all over the place. It's called, it's a bit on the nose, Feed My Starving Children.
Wow. There's no disguising what they do, is there?
They're not kidding around. And it's really cool. They've sort of scientifically formulated meals that, has the right amount of protein, whatever. And so you can take it to kids anywhere in the world who are starving. And it's astounding how the impact of just having food, obviously, right? Yeah, right. Anyway, and so they're all over the world. But what you do is you take a big group of kids, you take birthday parties. We've gone, this will be my third time. It's just so much fun. And you go and they play real loud music and everyone is like in teams and you're packing this stuff. So there's kids are scooping and you can be five. Like to find something like that for little kids to do is awesome too. Yeah. And you scoop it in and there's all these people's little stations and then I'm always the sealer. It's my favorite job. And then you seal the back. And then you box them up and you send them out. Anyway, it's really fun.
So wait, are these like little nutrition cubes or like
No, it's like a meal. Like it would look like when it's cooked up, it's just going to look like a mush or like a...
Okay.
It looks like oatmeal to me. But it's got just all the right blends of vegetable protein and rice and, But it's all palatable, right? Like when you're starving, you can't just eat some new food, right? Yeah. So it's this great blend of whatever. Anyway, it's awesome. So they send it all over. What's cool is they take big trucks and they will drive to the parking lot of like office buildings or schools or universities. And then they just have a packing day and then everyone just comes helps pack it all up. Anyway, it's very fun.
That's cool. So you guys are doing that today. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, so that his class is doing it for their Valentine's Day parties.
Oh, that's so much better than just having your shoebox full of crap. You know?
I know, right?
Go do something real with your life. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. So well, that's where I got to race up there at 11:30.
So. Yeah, so we got a hard out coming up here. So it is Valentine's Day. And when I should say this, first of all, this segment brought to you by this. Are you managing your money or is your money managing you? Ask yourself that question. Are you sick and tired of being sick and tired over your finances? If you'd like to start telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went, you should seek the help of a financial coach. Visit themoneymentor.net to contact Chris to regain hope of a healthy financial future and change your family tree forever. New clients receive a free introductory session, and mention of this ad, you'll get a 50% off your next session as well. That's themoneymentor.net. Okay. So, it's Valentine's Day.
It is.
It's pretty commercialized these days. But, you know, the idea is that you the ones you love, you do a cool thing for them and you tell them you love them. And it's remind everybody that your significant other is your bestie, and blah, 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 blah. So, <Right. laughs> since that's what it is, we thought we'd do a little throw together topic today, and you've got something in mind. So, what do you have in mind?
Yeah, let's talk about love. Okay. This can go in many directions. I'll let you guys help me decide on that. But so just from my personal experience in my practice, what happens every year just before Valentine's Day is fascinating. So it's not like I have a large sample size, but I have a large enough sample size that it is consistent every single year. I have a lot of single clients. That's like, I don't know. It's like, I guess what I'm sort of known for amongst singles is they sort of send me to their friends after, you know, I help them find love is what they think. And then, you know, they then send their buddies along. So I see a lot of single folks. And it is uncanny how many people I have met who, this is such a trigger. Like either they're dating someone or they're, you know, of course, want to be dating someone. But so often what I found, in fact, just today I talked to a girl. This is the first Valentine's Day in 6 years where she is not breaking up with someone this week.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, this week.
Wow.
Yeah. We're like, you got a pattern, friend.
So does she feel like Valentine's Day is kind of the make or break? Like if I don't love you by Valentine's Day, it's over kind of thing.
You know what? What I honestly think it might be, and this is what I've been surmising, is that it's like it's a do or die day in a relationship. And like, so in December, you're still hanging on so you can get a Christmas present. Like, I'm not really sure what's happening in the prior months, but there's something. And I think it's not, it's no small coincidence that it's also winter.
Yeah.
I think there is a connection between sort of, you know, disgruntled a little, hard, maybe a little depressed, like the person you're with, you're down. Anyway, so I looked it up, the stats, the majority of breakups happen in the month before Valentine's Day.
Wow.
Yeah. So
why is that? Is it because they don't want to face it? They don't want to face it? They don't want to, I mean, that would be my first impression is Valentine's Day's coming and that's a big commitment time. And if you're not committed, get out now before that day's here where you have to put up or shut up, right?
Yeah, and there's a lot of pressure on that day too. In fact, it's one of my favorite things to go out to a restaurant on Valentine's Day and just watch everybody because there's something wrong. Like the air is thick with like unmet expectations and pressure, and it's just kind of a mess.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it is funny because I really do have a lot of anecdotal evidence of folks that there is something about this time. So when I'm actually working with someone, so this girl in particular, she's dating a guy, she's starting to panic about a week ago. And I'm like, all right, so you got to turn your brain off for 2 weeks. After 2 weeks, you can break up, but you cannot, we got to break this. And so I talked to her today. She has not broken up with him. She's still doing fine. Mm. Yeah. But there is something about maybe just it, the pinnacle of, am I in the right relationship? Mm. Somehow this chocolate and roses and garbage is, you know, points that out.
Right.
And I don't know, you two are dudes. What has been your sense of Valentine's Day like when you're younger with your wives? Do you ever disappoint them? Like, what? How does it go for you?
I'm sure just I constantly
do. String of disappointments for my wife.
I was going to say, I don't think it ever ends for me either. But I'm notoriously bad at gifts and birthdays, Christmas, all of it. I'm bad at all of it. Like, I'm just not well suited to being very good at it. And I don't know. And I don't know why.
Being thoughtful.
yeah, basically, yeah. Like, I feel like I'm bad at being thoughtful. I think that's a good way of putting it. And I obviously can do something to improve that, and that's not an excuse to, you know, spend your whole life not being thoughtful. So I totally understand that. But at the same time, I feel like I'm the worst qualified to say, here's how I would handle it, or here's, you know, how I would, here's how I would deal with it, because I'm just so bad at it. And when it comes to this holiday, Kim, of course, is great at it. She has something planned way ahead in advance. She follows through on it. She does 14 days in a row every year where I get something totally cool every day for those 14 days.
I know, right?
I know. She's making everyone look bad. And I just feel like I can't out. I don't know how to outdo that. Or
so what do you do? What's your response?
So this year I went out of my way to get her something cool that I know she's gonna like, and that, you know, she doesn't want anything expensive. She doesn't want anything crazy. Like, she just wants something. I just know the kind of stuff she wants. So this year I was very thoughtful about that and thought about it ahead of time and all of that. And so this year I'm gonna nail it. Most years I don't know what to do, so I just like do the easy thing, which is, I guess we're going to dinner, you know, like, I'll take you out and buy you food.
Which I would do anyway next week.
Yeah.
Right. Which is like getting a reservation.
Yeah.
We're going to Chipotle.
Yeah. Which is a super boring thing. And I totally get why it's lame, but mm-hmm. I'm just bad at it. And I don't know why I'm bad at it. Dad was bad at it. I'm not going to blame him, but, you know, he's my role model. Genetic. So maybe it's genetic. I don't know, but that's the best answer I have. I just think I'm sucky at this, and she's amazing at it, so it's not really fair to her. But,
well, did she just give, like, she gave up a long time ago on expecting you to be good at it, I assume.
Yeah, oh yeah.
She learned to set her expectations low.
I think that's true, yeah.
Yeah, Tina and I don't really do, we don't celebrate Valentine's Day. We're one of those couples. Mm. We basically... the way she phrased it, I'd much rather you surprise me on February 15th with something, or March 22nd, or August 49th, or whatever, you know, surprise me on a day where I'm not expecting it. And so we do that for each other. Like, we'll be driving home from something, or I'll be driving home and I'll swing by Panera and pick her up a Danish or a one of those, souffle things that she really likes there, or she'll be going downtown and she'll pick up a Jamba Juice for me. It's stuff like that. It's like
little things all year round.
Yeah, exactly. Little surprises instead of all this pressure of like, oh, you got to outdo whatever you did last year.
Yeah. And the problem is Kim does that too all year round.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I try to as well. I try to be better at this. It's actually something I'm really working on. But what I would really like to know is, how do you guys have a 42nd day in a month or whatever you just mentioned?
Yeah, August 42nd.
Yeah,
that's awesome. Why there's a big surprise, right? It's like, oh my God, not only am I getting a gift, there's 42 days in August.
That's fantastic. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think, I mean, we're sort of hitting on what the solution is to adjust your expectations. But I think the folks listening to this, if you've been married a long time, you've already done that. Or potentially you're still being disappointed every year. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I think sort of the younger crowd of like the up and coming expectation or dating, or, you know, like, I'm watching my kids leave the house today. They're making Valentines for the bus driver, for the random neighbor, and like who else they can just share some love with, because, you know, they take it as, this is so fun. I'm like, oh, you ain't. This day will be ruined for you soon.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But there is something to be said for, like, how do you navigate some of these expectations early on in relationships? So I want to talk about the secret sauce to this, because I think the reason it is so stupid is the lack of, or can be so painful, or, you know, is this thing you're talking about, the way you guys would show love. Scott, you're not a gift giver.
No,
that's
not
your jam.
Yeah, not at all.
So if the person you're with really loves to get gifts, that you're going to be in trouble, right?
Yeah.
someone else, it may be that just quality time really matters the most. And that, so that night you get treated to a bunch of treats and a fancy dinner and dancing, but there's no talking and you're not going to feel as connected. So it's related to a little bit of the way you sort of like to be loved. And so when you're new in a relationship, you don't know what to, you don't know what the other person likes necessarily.
No.
So I'm going to just suggest talking about it. Like, here's the problem.
Talking? What? Okay.
Yeah, talking. I know. And it, and you know, I'm kind of.
Happy Valentine's Day. I got you a conversation.
Because, you know, Nico stopped making those conversation hearts, so we need to do real ones, I guess. But if you think about that, like saying, talking previously, I know it's Thanksgiving. I know it's Valentine's Day today.
Yeah.
And so now feels a little short-sighted to start this conversation. But, you know, maybe a week ago, if you had just said, hey, let's talk about your history. You're dating someone. Okay, that's what I'm referring to, a couple who doesn't know each other super well, but they're, you know, they're dating and
right.
Valentine's is coming up. To say, tell me a little bit about your history with Valentine's Day. Because I'll tell you, I ask people that because of their various reasons they're coming to talk to me. I'll say, you know, tell me about, you know, your heartbreak. And a lot of it is around Valentine's Day. So this isn't just, hey, everyone's hyped this day up. It's also, there's some trauma sometimes because of the hype. And then people have had some bad experiences. So you ask your partner, what do you expect? What do you think? A great example might have been when Adam and I first got married, our first Valentine's together, he bought me a cactus.
Wow, really?
Wow.
Adam,
yeah. The gift keeps on pricking.
Exactly. And I was like, are you kidding? You got me a cactus? And I'd never thought of myself as a flower person before, but I suddenly realized like, oh, I think I wanted a flowers, not a cactus. And he was like, well, it's just so much logical. You know,
it'll last a lot longer.
So much, yeah, exactly. Cactuses are so and much more like, logical.
I think the very nature of you wasted money on me is kind of part of the appeal.
You're right. It kind of is. Right? Yeah.
I think so. I was like, listen, yeah, maybe I wanted flowers. He's like, I'm sorry, I'll get you flowers. And then after that, I was like, actually, no, I don't really want flowers. He still will just get me flowers. I'll be like, I told you I don't need flowers. And he's like, no, no, I've learned. So he won't let it go.
That's awesome.
Anyway, I scared him with the cactus.
I kind of love that. Maybe he was trying to have you go back in your memory and remember that time in Phoenix where you landed in that giant cactus pile.
No, that was.
Maybe that was
it. Around Valentine's Day? No, that was around Christmas. That was horrifying. Yeah, no, I don't like cactuses. Yeah, actually, that's probably part
That's
of
probably
it.
Why. Probably you guys should see these pictures of Wendy. She's like a junior in high school, and she's standing there covered in jumping, what was it called? Jumping sequoia?
Sequoia
something. I don't remember. But it was these.
Koya,
yeah. And she just, if you land, she's playing football. Someone passes her the ball. She falls into it and gets up, and it's just every two
in
inches in her neck, like hair, head, body. It was
Seems
awful.
Like the dumbest place to play football, really.
Yeah. It's called the state of Arizona. It's the dumbest place to play football.
Yeah. Nice warm winter.
I was in someone's front yard. I just ran. Oh, it was terrible. Anyway, I was also in eighth grade. I was not a junior in high school, but you're right. That's why it triggered me when he gave me cactus. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, maybe.
So
that's
you
it.
Need to find out some facts about your person. Like, what is their history with Valentine's Day? Have they fallen in a cactus before you go and get them a cactus? You know, you get them roses, and it turns out, you know, they got dumped with roses or something.
Yeah, right. Some bad trigger.
Yeah.
Right. So you do it beforehand because I think the morning of Thanksgiving, I keep saying Thanksgiving.
You just really want a big meal today, don't you?
Like, yeah, you're really hungry.
I do.
Want some turkey, get some turkey, some stuffing. Yeah, sounds good. I'd do it.
Yeah, it so, does. You know, ask some questions. Get some.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just explain this to dudes because I think a lot of dudes, not all of them, but a lot of you don't get what this is for women.
Yeah.
So here's an embarrassing story that is very true. And I have learned from this. So this was a couple years ago and I'm sitting with a group of moms. All our kids are playing. And this is sometime in January.
Okay.
And all of these women are like, oh, my husband already asked me out for Valentine's Day. And I was like, oh my gosh, Adam hasn't done that. You know, kind of the comparison thing. Like,
no. Yeah. It's the pressure. Like if you're in an office setting, And freaking Colleen, who works at the front desk, has this big bouquet of flowers on the front desk that she won't get rid of or won't put, like, actually on her desk. She has to keep it on that upper ledge above her desk so everybody who comes in can see it.
Yep. Yeah, Colleen.
Colleen.
Seriously, I know. So they're all saying, oh, my husband's already asked me out. And, oh, we're going to go on this trip. And I'm like, So I get home. This is like January 21st or something. And I get home and I'm like, Adam, you're the worst. He's like, oh, wait a minute. I thought I had to like the first to ask you out. We're married. Like I was, it was so irrational. It was so dumb.
Yeah. But, so anyway, that, but that's your point, right? What you're saying is women are irrational and dumb. Is that what you're saying?
Is that what I'm getting from this? That is not what I'm saying. Okay. I am saying.
Got it.
There's something about this stupid holiday based on love and romance that like, okay, so you have an expectation that's not realistic, but here's where the story gets better.
Okay.
I am talking to a friend the next day and I'm telling her like how annoyed I was. And she, I swear to you, this is so embarrassing. She's like, oh, wait a minute. Adam, remember last year and she starts listing the stuff Adam has done for me for multiple Valentine's Day. And one was he made this whole video of like all these pictures of us together, put it to me, like the cutest stuff. I had forgotten everything.
Oh, of course. No.
She is listing this to me and I'm like, I'm the worst.
Yeah.
And I went home and I apologized and you could tell it was just like, you know, he was like, it was like a dog getting smacked on the nose when he didn't do anything wrong.
I'm sure he was actually in the process of working on a new video.
Yeah, he was like, and no more. I'm going to give you cactuses again. Anyway, but the point being, like, I don't watch rom-coms. Like, none of that matters to me, really. Mm. But there's something about this holiday that's kind of disgusting and magic at the same time, right? Which kind of creates a little bit of crazy. So if you're a guy listening, and I know you think it's stupid and I know you think it's commercial and it's all made up and it's all whatever and it sets everyone up for failure. You just go with it. Like just once a year, try.
Yeah.
Try to care. Google some ideas. Do something and so the key is really to talk, right? But if you've waited till today, also now you need to Google and go buy some things, right? Just, you know, and it doesn't have to be fancy, but just acknowledging, use words. Tell her she's the most amazing thing in the world. That's all anybody really wants. Mm-hmm. But there's somehow we've artificially created a day where if you don't hear it, then you feel really crappy.
Right.
So it isn't rational. It's annoying.
Do you remember when mom used to, it was mostly Mother's Day, but if she didn't feel like she got like the awesomest thing in the world that morning, like, cause dad was a sneaky dude. He liked to keep a surprise for a long time and then spring it on you. I mean, never forget that when we were kids, Christmas was one year was we walked into the living room and there was an entire large size rectangular full size trampoline in the house, like in the house. And it stayed there for what, 3 months or something?
Oh, at least. Yeah.
Yeah. And we were constantly in there jumping on this thing in the house. And that's just kind of he loved doing that. He loved like the weird freaking thing. So on a Mother's Day, he would have a really cool thing for mom, but he would all act nonchalant in the morning, like, oh yeah, something's going on. I don't know what, but, you know, I don't know, maybe. And like acting like he doesn't know what the day is a little bit. There's a great Fawlty Towers episode that's basically this, where you just kind of forget, you make it seem like he's forgotten. And at the end of the day, you blow her mind with some rad thing. And mom couldn't deal. Like she just, like very early on, shut completely down, wouldn't talk to any of us, wouldn't talk to dad.
Went to like hotels a few times.
Yeah, she's pissed. Like so pissed.
Really?
Because and you'd think she'd get used to the fact that my dad was always up to this. He was always doing a weird thing. He always came through, but it was never in her timeline. And it drove her, you know, over the wall every time. And she did. I want to say one or two times she actually stayed the night at a hotel or something.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like,
I hate all of you. Well, and I remember thinking it was weird as a kid, but as an adult, I think, Dad, were you a slow learner? Like that was not nice. Like the time he gave her like a lawn chair at 10 p.m. on Mother's Day.
Yeah, that was one of them that was so bad.
10 p.m.
A lawn chair.
Yeah, a lawn chair. Now, if he'd have come up to her and said, hey, here are all expenses paid trips for us to the Caribbean or something, That would have been maybe worth the full day of torture.
Yeah.
But he gave her a lawn chair at the end of the day.
Oh, dude, if you're going to do a lawn chair, at least like say, and I got us tickets to see, you know, Shakespeare in the Park or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You should have, she should have, but instead it was just straight up a chair.
Just lawn chairs.
And it was the old kind with like the interweaved vinyl.
Yeah,
crap.
Yeah. You get up and you have the marks on your legs. Yeah.
Yeah. I forgot all about that.
Okay, so whoever's listening, ask yourself, like give yourself a little quiz here. Am I good at Valentine's Day? Mm-hmm. And if you answer, yeah, then cool. Do your thing. If you're like, oh, maybe the answer no is no, you're not. You're not good.
Yeah.
And if you're really not good, there's Google, there's friends, ask around, scare your partner by being suddenly like, do the opposite of what you would normally do and just see what you get that night.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's some benefits.
I actually admire, I think Brian's very good at this. They have their mystery date thing they're doing now. Like you're the Kim in the relationship, as far as I'm concerned. I'm not saying Tina isn't. In fact, you guys
are both the Kim in the relationship.
Yeah. I agree. The big deficit over here is me, but. That kind of stuff is also probably good for negating the need for a special holiday. In other words, you're always do. You have a monthly mystery date, and it's her turn, it's your turn. You're always surprising each other, outdoing each other. So when Valentine's Day rolls around, it's a nice thing to just, you know, oh, happy Valentine's Day, honey, I made you breakfast. But you don't feel like you got to go buy a boat, you
know, or
right. cash in your freaking 401k so you can afford whatever ring you want to buy, like. Okay. There's weird pressure with that, but part of that pressure comes from not doing it the rest of the time. Mm-hmm. So maybe just do it more often. Sprinkle it in, you know, just weave it in.
There's no way to win, really. I mean, you might win one year, but that means your next year, you better top it. And it's like just a constant thing of like, well, last year he bought me tickets to Hawaii. I don't know what he's going to do this year. Oh, a bouquet of roses. All right, thanks.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. You got to also pace yourself with that stuff because... Yes. You don't want to set expectations so astronomically high that you're going to go broke doing it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there you go.
Right. And there's always the option of go think about love in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Go do some good with love, right? Like we're going to go pack some food for starving kids. I think by the end of one shift, I think we feed, it's like you can feed 8,000 kids for like a month.
Jeez.
It's amazing.
That's amazing. Wow.
And what's cool is they show you these videos of these kids that, They target certain places where obviously kids are starving, and then they have individual children that you get to see the progress and just like they're listless and swollen belly. It's so sad. And then, you know, 2 years of having this regularly delivered food and they're in school and they're running around. I mean, that is love, right? Come on. Yeah. Love is all sorts of things.
Love is lots of things. Love is all you need.
Love is all you need.
Love is all you need. All right. Well, you should get on your way. You only got a couple of minutes. A good message today on this Valentine's Day of 2019. I hope it goes well. And you should eat the food and just tell if it's any good. I'm just curious about it. Just like
one they let you. They let you have it after if you want to taste a little bit. And it's really tasty.
Is it?
It's It's like comfort food is how it feels. Kind of like a...
Weird.
Like a mush that's, I don't know, you feel it's healthier than what I eat probably on most days. Like
it's like gruel, yeah. But good for you. You know, the Matrix had this. They had that little bowl of like all the nutrients you need, but it looked like crap.
God. Yeah. The slop.
Yeah. What was that called? They had a name for it. I don't remember. Anyway, that doesn't matter. Wendy, have a fantastic time with the boy and the day. And we'll see you next Thursday for
Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye now.
That's right.
Whoop. I hung up on everybody. I hung up on Brian, didn't mean to. Okay.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, I hung up on all of you. Being dumb.
It's just a day of that.
Yeah, it is. I woke up like this. Let's put it that way. All right. I'm going to play a voicemail. Would you like to hear a voicemail?
Yes.
Here's one right here.
This is Chris Taylor. I'm calling from West Des Moines, Iowa. Hey, I just wanted to point out, when you do your little bumper clip where the guy says you can always follow me on Twitter, I always thought that was Matthew McConaughey, but you said it was it Rick Scott or Rick Perry, the energy secretary? Anyway, just thought I'd share that. See if you guys actually hear that. It does sound like Matthew McConaughey.
Okay. Right. We're going to play it and see.
Yeah, now we got to hear it. Yeah.
If he's right. So normally on TMSPN, we play this. Let's see.
And you can always follow me on Twitter.
I guess. He's got the Texas accent.
A little bit of it. Yeah. It sounds like an old Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, they're both from Texas, so... That's probably what you're hearing.
I stay the same age, and they just keep getting tweeter.
I'd play that. I'd totally play that. I'll get rid of Rick Perry's crap.
For sure.
By the way, that's a nice reminder that we take voicemails on the show. You can leave them at 801-471-0462, and we recommend that you do. Okay? All right.
Okay.
Today, I will be playing at noon until 2. Frog Pants plays. I don't know if it'll be a scary game or not. I'm still trying to make up my mind.
It might be
Apex Legends or something. I don't know. I can't decide. But,
There's a new Tetris that I'm wanting, like a Battle Royale Tetris.
I got it right here, buddy boy.
Have you played it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's awesome. You should play it. Tetris 99 on the Switch, it's called. You and 99 other people enter. Only one leaves. And it actually works. It freaking works. I can't believe how well it works. It's very good. In fact, it was going to be my recommended thing tomorrow. Maybe it still will because I'll have some more time with it. Yeah.
It's just on Nintendo Switch, right?
Yeah, it's just a Switch exclusive. They announced it yesterday and released it yesterday during their Nintendo Direct thing, and it's free. You do have to have their monthly... what's the Nintendo
monthly? Online?
Yeah, whatever that is.
Yep.
Which is like $4 a month, no big deal. But if you do that, then you can play. But it's free. Yeah, totally free. And you should play it, Brian. It's great. It's awesome. Right now, there's no way to play with friends directly. It's just you versus 99 strangers. I suppose one could be a friend, and then you just didn't know it.
Right.
But it's crazy. What it is crazy. Battle Royale Tetris, man. Nuts.
Oh, and there's a new Marvel Ultimate Alliance there, too. The Black Order. Oh, yeah. Oh, they announced a bunch of great stuff.
Yeah, they did all sorts of stuff yesterday. They announced this remake of Link's Awakening, the Game Boy, the old Game Boy.
Oh, I saw that. That looks gorgeous.
It looks insane. It looks so good. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, good day for Nintendo yesterday, I think. That Awakening remake is freaking sweet. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Oh, yeah, and Final Fantasy IV is released on the Switch and Xbox, and it's also on the PC, I want to say. Oh, Mario Maker 2 got announced. That's the other thing I'm excited about. All kinds of good Nintendo stuff. Good. All right, let's get out of here.
Killing it.
Yeah, they're doing all right. Frogpants.com/TMS is our big link over there. You guys want to check it out? That'd be great. Reminder that you want to also be checking out VivaTMSVegas.com right now. There's a link on the website as well. All the show notes have links to it. Should have tickets available Monday for the big TMS meetup in Vegas. As we announced yesterday, we have procured for Thursday night's festivities the HyperX Esports Arena and the Luxor Casino, where we will be playing a friendly game of Overwatch, a tournament of Overwatch. And I showed Brian yesterday a mock-up for some medals we're working on, and we got some rad stuff going on. So anyway, you're going to want to check that out. And like I said, probably Monday we'll hit the ground running. Some people are like, well, hey, what if I want to, like last year, get the cool stuff you give, but I can't come? We'll have an option for that as well. So that'll be ready by Monday. So people who are coming and people who aren't can maybe save a little money. And those who are coming will, that's just like last year. And same thing we did last year.
That's right. And we are going to try to stream it. So if you can't make it, we're really bummed that you can't make it, but you should be able to watch it online, hopefully.
Yeah, at least the Thursday part. So. There's that. I haven't heard anything from Todd, so I don't know if he's doing anything this year coming out there or not.
Oh, he was raiding with us last night. I should have asked him.
Yeah. I don't know if he has plans or what's his deal. Sometimes he's quiet right up to the minute, and then he shows up. So.
Right, exactly. I'll talk to him.
We'll see. Cool. Frogpants.com/TMS for everything else. Go check it out, and thanks for supporting us on Patreon. We'll be back tomorrow night, 3:30 Mountain Time, not night, but evening, for a PM edition of the show. Please tune in then. And that's it. Song.
Yes. So Melissa wrote in and said, I'm wishing a happy 40th birthday to Greg Davey, longtime listener of TMS. He's the coworker who introduced me to TMS. He usually puts in his own request. So if he does, Brian, he can take his pick of which song he wants to play. Namaste. Signed, Melissa.
Oh.
Well, Greg didn't send me a request. However, I have previous requests from Greg. At least I know the music that he likes. And I know he likes this. He likes Churches. He actually discovered Churches via the Arctic Monkeys cover that they did that we played on the show a couple years back. So he'll like this one. seems appropriate today, too. The song's called Love. It's by Churches. It's a cover of the song by Kendrick Lamar, and they recorded it for the Triple J Like a Virgin 14 CD. So going out to Greg Davey, Churches with Love.
Give me a run for my money. There is nobody, no one to outrun me. So give me a run for my money. Sipping bubbly, feeling lovely. Living lovely. Just love.
Blade on curve, will you still
love me?
If I made up my mind at work, will you still
love me?
Keep it 100, I'd rather you trust me than you
love me.
Keep it a whole 100, don't got you, I got nothing.
I got something. We gon' function, no assumptions. Feeling like fighting with it, knock it out twice, I'm with it. Only for the night, I'm kidding. Only for life.
If I didn't write blade on curve, will you still
love me?
If I'm out of my mind at work, will you still
love me?
Keep it a holler, I'd rather you trust me than you
love me.
Keep it a whole 100, don't got you, I got nothing.
Give me a run for my money. There is nobody, no one to outrun me.
Part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
We've been bullshit.
Whoa.
Whoa.